became incredibly important to mankind very early in its existence. In Genesis 3, at the time God acknowledged the fact that Adam and Eve had been deceived by Satan, a prophecy in the form of a curse was given by God to each violator. To the man, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." You see, in the midst of the curse to Adam, God embedded hope in the form of bread. This was the prophecy of the Messiah, who himself is the bread of life. Did you ever stop to consider how bread is made? In its most rudimentary form, bread is flour and water. God, in creation, provided water. Flour, on the other hand, requires effort on our part. A grain such as wheat must be grown and processed into flour. Now we're back to the curse, where God prophesied toil as part of the equation. The work that goes into the preparation, cultivation, planting, harvesting, and processing grain into flour is not inconsiderable. At some point, someone learned that by keeping a small piece of the previous day's batch of bread mixture and crumbling it into the water before adding in the flour, the bread mixture, at that point known as dough, would swell or rise. The process is called fermentation. The additive is called leaven. From the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, we learn fermentation was emblematic of a process of corruption. The leaven was capable of debasing and corrupting the mass of dough. In other words, God presented the basic idea of bread, and mankind, presumably through experimentation and/or discovery, added corruption to the mix. After leading Abraham to Canaan, then pushing the Hebrews into Egypt and slavery, God engineered an event so disruptive that the chosen people were turned back to the basics. Moses, with power from God Almighty, caused a series of plagues to befall Egypt. Before the 10th and final plague, God instituted a feast that enabled the Israelites to travel, as described in Exodus 12, verses 14 to 20. "Now, this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the 7th day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the 7th day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. God was prophesying through Moses a coming deliverer. Just as Moses was involved in the delivery of the Hebrews from slavery. The symbol God used was bread without corruption or sin. This points specifically to the Messiah, Jesus, himself without sin. Bread became important again during the Israelites' journey in the wilderness, as we find in Exodus 16, verses 1 through 7. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us?" From this, we can see that we are dependent upon God for our daily bread. The wandering Israelites had no way of storing great quantities of the manna. In fact, God commanded in Exodus 16, verse 16, "Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent." Furthermore, Moses issued a warning to only eat what was gathered each day, as he recorded in Exodus 16, verses 19 to 20. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. Recall what we learned earlier about unleavened bread. The previous day's batch became leaven, that is, corruption or sin. This was a foreshadowing of the true bread of heaven, as we read in John chapter 6, verses 31 to 35. "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Then, in John 6, 47 to 51, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. and the bread also which I will give, for the life of the world is my flesh. Finally, in Exodus 25, verses 25 to 30, as Moses is receiving instructions for the creation of the tabernacle, the house of God, the table of showbread is described, second only to the Ark of the Covenant. You shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a gold border around it. You shall make for it a rim of a hand's breadth around it, and you shall make a gold border for the rim around it. You shall make 4 gold rings for it, and put rings on the 4 corners which are on its 4 feet. The rings shall be close to the rim as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, so that with them the table may be carried. You shall make its dishes, and its pans, and its jars, and its bowls, with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold. You shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. The 12 loaves, called the bread of presence or the showbread, symbolically represented both the presence of God with his people and the people of Israel before their God. The preparation of the bread is described in Leviticus 24, verses 5 through 9. Then you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2 tenths of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in 2 rows, 6 to a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be a memorial portion for the bread, even an offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. It shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place. For it is most holy to him from the Lord's offerings by fire, his portion forever. Jesus made it plain, in describing an incident involving David, that he himself is the bread, in Luke chapter 6, verses 3b through 5. Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priests alone, and gave it to his companions. And he was saying to them, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." After arriving in Emmaus, the 2 disciples became acutely aware of the importance of bread, in Luke chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. God.